I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
The key, I think, with imposter complex is when it shows up, the key is to just not let it stop you. And so as long as we're not letting our imposter syndrome or imposter complex stop us from doing what we're here to do, like writing books, that's all that we can ask for.
This is your Kick-Ass Life podcast, episode number 378 with guest Amy Ehlers.
This is the Your Kick-Ass Life podcast with Andrea Owen. A no BS guide to self-help and badassery. Because ladies, let's face it, life's too short for it to not kick ass. And here's your host, the girl who serves it up straight with a side of crazy, Andrea Owen.
Hey there, Ass Kickers. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so glad that you're here with me this week. I have one of my favorite people in the world, Amy Ehlers, is on the show today, and we are talking about imposter complex. We're talking about inner critic, and we are also sharing some personal experiences we have and how we get through when imposter complex and inner mean girl, as Amy likes to call it, gets on us too, because it still happens. We are only human, and we thought it would be helpful to share some experiences with you. And also, before I forget, we will talk about this at the very end of the show, but Amy and I are coming at you live on March 16th. We're doing a free workshop, and it's similar to the one that we did last year. It's been a whole year. I know it went by excruciatingly slow and very fast, but it's all about writing. And whether you want to write a book or you're just kind of curious about it, if you want to self-publish, if you want to go traditional publishing, the workshop is called Top 10 Kick-Ass Tips to Get Your Writing Project Started and Complete. And again, it's on March 16th at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. That's noon Pacific. It's absolutely no cost. And if you head on over to writingexperienceprogram.com/tips, you can sign up. And again, that's writingexperienceprogram.com/tips. That link is also in the show notes. I cannot wait to see you there. And if you can't make it live, yes, there will be a recording sent to you probably as soon as that evening. But if you can make it live, I highly encourage you to do it. I know a lot of you are working from home now, so maybe you can just like have it on in your ear as you're also working. And I know that last year, the community was so amazing there on the workshop live, and lots of amazing side conversations happening. So for those of you that don't know Amy, let me tell you a little bit about her. Amy Ehlers is a master women's leadership and life coach, keynote speaker, and best-selling author. Amy is on a mission to stop women from self-bullying and being so darn hard on themselves so they can make their greatest possible contribution. So without further ado, here is Amy. Amy Ehlers back on the show. Welcome.
One of my favorite shows in the entire world to be on. Let me just tell you that now, lady.
I am so glad to have you. And we have a lot to talk about. So let's jump in. And I'm really pumped to talk about this topic that I haven't had anybody on in a minute to share some knowledge about this. And it's about imposter complex.
Yep.
And so one of the interesting things when I wrote about imposter complex in my second book, so many people wrote to me and said they related with that and didn't know it was a thing. So I'm sure you hear that too. So how do you see it show up, especially for women who want to start something new or complete a big project?
Well, you know, I always like to talk about imposter complex, imposter syndrome. It's that feeling of doubt, the voice in your head that says you're not enough, that you're a fraud, when in reality, you are more than qualified, right? There's this chronic self-doubt and this sense of intellectual fraudulence that overrides all the feelings of success. And then, and I love that you said, like, when you're starting something new, because there are times when you're a beginner and when you're new at something, and this is just basically you being a beginner. That's not that you're an imposter. Means that you're a beginner. And I think it's so fascinating how women in particular, we feel like we're supposed to be masterful at everything, even when it's new to us. I don't know why we do that, but it's crazy.
Isn't it? I haven't seen the research on this. Maybe you have, that because both men and women do struggle with imposter complex, but it tends to, it is somewhat gendered and how it affects women more so. And the way I see it show up in my clients, especially when they're starting a new job, when they got the job, and it seems to be, especially when they beat out a lot of people, they get that feeling of, I don't belong here. How could they have picked me? When are they going to find out? I have no idea what I'm doing. And they did not, in fact, lie on their resume or in their interview at all.
Totally. Well, it's like my friend Jill calls it the hiring hangover. Like, you're working your butt off.
I have never heard that term.
I love it because it's like, you know, you're working your tail off trying to get that job and you're doing everything that you can. And you're going through that interview process and you're like putting your best foot forward and totally like being the badass that you are or whatever. And then you get hired and then this hangover hits you of like, oh my gosh, now I need to actually show up and do this job. And in any moment, they're going to see that I'm a total fraud. I'm a total imposter. Yeah. And there is an interesting study, Andrea, since you brought up a study, there's a 2019 study called Overcoming Imposter Feeling, How Senior Executives Manage Their Insecurities. That's a mouthful. But what the study found is that female leaders experience imposter syndrome at a much higher degree than men. More than half, 54% to be exact, scored frequent or high versus only about a quarter, 24% of men. And the study felt like unconscious bias around gender and leadership is definitely likely a contributing factor. And I know for me, and I know for you too, that, you know, coaching women from all different walks of life, emerging, rising, established women leaders, it is an extraordinarily common and paralyzing when left unchecked.
Right. When left unchecked. And I want to normalize it. And then also, it's kind of that point in personal development. I call it the point of no return. You can't unsee what you see. And I have compassion for people who are like, oh my God, I struggle with that too and didn't know before. They're like, thanks a lot, Andrea and Amy. But it's truly one of those things that you'll start to notice it and then you can do work on it. Like things like, I know for me, there's a few things that I do that I'll kind of rattle off is that I ask myself the question, first of all, when I hear my inner critic or inner mean girl, as you like to call it, I notice it very quickly. And I'm very neutral about it. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. That just happened. Those are the kind of things I tell myself. And then I just get curious about it. Like, I wonder where that came from. I wonder why I think that. And I mean, sometimes I throw like I have a mental meltdown. Let's be honest. Just getting really curious about it, having self-compassion, surrounding myself with really amazing women, yourself included, who I can come to and say, I think it was just yesterday I was messaging you and another group of women talking about how my ego was bruised about something, you know, like I just where you can be vulnerable and voice what's going on and you're not met with judgment. And I'm not even necessarily meant with like this amazing pep talk of like, oh, you're crazy. You're amazing. Right. Don't ever think that about yourself. And it takes time to nurture those relationships, but that's just some of the things I do to combat my own imposter complex. What about you?
I love it. Well, I mean, I think one of the first things when I have that feeling coming up is the first thing is I have to ask myself, am I just doing something new? Am I a beginner at this? Where I'm like putting these unrealistic expectations on myself to be advanced when I'm a beginner. And so if I'm a beginner, like I kind of check myself that way, then I go, okay, well, I'm just learning something new. I'm not supposed to be an expert. So then I'll let it go that way. But if in fact I'm up leveling and I am qualified, right? And that imposter syndrome is afoot, I'll reframe it and really look at what is this new level? And I'll reframe it as, hooray, I'm having a breakthrough. Like I am breaking through to a new level. And so I'll start to really change my perspective about it and the story. So instead of the story, I'm an imposter, I think I'm up leveling, I'm growing, I'm having a breakthrough right now. This is so exciting. And I always love that metaphor of water. When water has the breakthrough into steam, it has to go through that boiling point first. So there's that chaos that happens before it can transform into steam. And so all of you listening, if you're going to another level in your career, maybe you're putting yourself out there and you're falling in love and you feel like that imposter thing of like, oh my gosh, any moment, this guy, this woman's going to find out that I'm a mess and that I'm totally unworthy of being loved, right? That you can be like, I'm having a breakthrough. Like this is something I'm up leveling in my life. Like this is something good, and really start changing that narrative inside your head. And I just think that our narratives are so powerful.
Very, very true. And that sounds like upper limit stuff, which I talk about a lot over on the podcast. And for I have experienced imposter complex and upper limit stuff every time. Well, definitely in my relationship, but also, of course, in at work. Yeah. And you know, I've been an entrepreneur for so long. I'm thinking back to my corporate days when I worked there. And I don't think that I had it. I hadn't quite climbed the corporate ladder as to where I was headed yet before I got out. But for me, it's been every time I've written a book, it asks, because so I just wrote my third one. And this time I was like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I am going to walk into this with all the knowledge and all the confidence and all the positive thinking.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening?
Yeah.
Well, first COVID,
right? Lord have mercy. Yeah.
That was tough for everyone. And it just, it was, you know, a new publisher, you know, it was this big name publisher happening. And I felt like I had to impress everybody. And there was a lot riding on this. And my second book was successful. So this one has to be more successful. So there's all these things that are sort of on my shoulder, barking in my ear. And I was a bit of a wreck for a little while.
You I was there. I saw it. You were a little bit of a wreck.
I crashed and burned a few times. I got through it.
You did get through it. Well, and you had your breakthrough. You know, the key, I think, with imposter complex is when it shows up, the key is to just not let it stop you. These things are going to show up. Like it's part of being human. And certainly for those of you that are women, it is very much part of what's going on. Like if we bring in the old patriarchy and all this stuff of how it wants us to continue to think that we are designed that way, that patriarchal system, you know, you had the breakthrough, you persevered. And so as long as we're not letting our imposter syndrome or imposter complex stop us from doing what we're here to do, like writing books, I mean, that's all that we can ask for.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. Like, because I think, and it just breaks my heart, like whether you're thinking about writing a book or you want to start a new career or you want to start dating again. And it's, we have all these scary thoughts of what could go wrong, or we're not qualified enough. I don't have a master's degree. I don't have the right certifications. I need to, you know, get more schooling, et cetera, et cetera. And then we quit. I mean, I've quit several things in my life that I've regretted. I've quit some things that I didn't regret, but I've definitely, the ones that hurt the most are the ones where I quit and I regret that decision. And I could have quit writing any of my books. And it just is about, and like, I have to admit, I feel like I'm a little bit dramatic at times.
You? What? I can't relate at all. Let me just tell you.
Martyrdom. Yeah, but it's just, it's, but that, as someone who struggles with anxiety disorder as well, like I can have those runaway thoughts that are just, I have no control of them. And they spin and spin and spin. And I feel like I don't have any, like I feel helpless and a bit hopeless in terms of like my mental, it just like even thinking about it makes me like, oh gosh, I feel sorry. I feel so sorry for myself. But it's daunting, and it's just part of the human experience. And I want people listening to relate and think about something in their life, either that's happening in the present moment or that they've sort of had on the back burner, or maybe even that they've quit and regretted it, so they can look back and learn from their mistakes and think, what could I have done differently so that I could have completed the project or gone for the thing that I wanted to get? Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/noise, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/noise to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/noise. Sometimes you need your paycheck before it's actually payday, am I right? Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, vet bills, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in noise under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your availability, earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Well, what do you feel like, you know, has been the biggest thing that has kept you going? Like, here you are, your third book about to come out. You've kicked ass, no pun intended, when it comes to book sales. Like, you're such a badass. And even you suffer from imposter complex at times, right? Like, so again, normalizing it. But what do you feel like is the thing that really kept you going with your writing projects so that you would really
There's
make it happen?
There's a few things. I've had to slow down and do a bit of compartmentalizing because when I allow my brain to wander and I think about all the people that might read it and then all the people that might not like it. And then maybe I should write differently for those people to get them to like it and then to like me. And also, you know, if I let myself sit idle for too long, I start thinking, well, I haven't written in so long. It's been like a year. I'm so rusty. I don't know what I'm doing. How in the world did I even get this book deal? And so I have to sort of compartmentalize. And what I mean by that is I have to pause. You know, if it's really bad, then I have to put it away. I have to put the project away at least for the afternoon, or it might be like a couple of days. If it's really bad, I also reach out to my friends and tell them what's going on. And also, here's the key. Tell them exactly what I'm looking for. Tell them what I need.
Yeah.
So, you know, people listening, like, your friends might immediately try to fix it because they want to help you because they care about you. And that might not be what you need. Maybe you do. Sometimes I do want advice, so I'll ask for it. Sometimes I just need to vent. Sometimes I need people to remind me who I am. Those type of things. And I try my best to tap into any time in my life that I can remember And for those listening, it might be when you were 5, it might be when you were 25, or it might even be, you know, your grandmother that you loved who gave great advice, or a mentor or a manager that you had that you really admired. That person or former self of yours, that, you know, what would they tell you? So for me, I think of when I was 22 years old, I had my first office job and I was so excited. And I had like one of my very first meeting, like in the conference room, you know, it was like this big long table. It was a corporate office. It was a buying office for a chain of retail stores. I was an assistant buyer. And I was just like so excited that I was going to like be in this meeting with all the other people, all the other grownups. And I was the youngest person there. And the president of the company asked for ideas for something. And I was sitting towards the end of the table. I think I've told the story on the show before. And I gave an idea. I blurted it out, like not even thinking at all. Like why wouldn't I? Right? Like I was so green. It was my very first job like that. And I'm like, I had a good idea. I'm going to say it. And I remember like all the heads at the table swiveled and turned and looked at me. And the looks on their faces, it was a mix of surprise and a little bit of admiration. Like, damn, look at the new girl. But the biggest feeling I got from that moment was, oh, this doesn't happen very often to for people like me. I remember being uncomfortable, but not, maybe I was a little embarrassed, but not, it didn't stop me from, you know, giving my ideas again. So I think back to that delusional confidence that I had before the corporate world got a hold of me.
Totally.
And before my work inner critic really got a hold of me. And that's who I tap into. I mean, there are other people that I admire in the world. You know, I'll think of Michelle Obama and my favorite Cha-Cha de Gregorio from the movie Grease. But really, like, I think of my 22-year-old self, you know, like, she would just have this delusional confidence of like, of course it's going to work. Why wouldn't I go for that?
Like, right.
There's no reason not to.
I love it. I love that you call on your 22-year-old self that was like, had delusional confidence and was just like, I'm jumping in.
Yeah.
You know?
I had no other experience. I had no other experience being dismissed or talked over at those meetings. Like I was so fresh and green and like ready to work and participate.
I love that. But youth.
Ah, I know. Youth.
Andrea, I miss it. We're just two middle-aged ladies sitting here talking about books, dragging on our cigarettes and martinis. No.
Yep, that's our afternoon.
Mm-hmm. That's it, babe. Yeah. Even though you've been sober for how long?
Almost 10 years. Yeah, 9.5 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just some of the things that I do when I'm feeling very impostery and my inner critic has gotten a hold of me.
I just feel like writing books, and I remember my mom said this to me when I was writing my first book, and you know, I had no idea if I would ever get a book deal, of course. And you know, this was back in 2009, 2010. I remember my mom looking at me and she said the most incredible acknowledgement. She just said, Amy, because I of course didn't know the ropes about nonfiction books and that you had to have a book proposal, dun, 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 right? If you wanted to get a traditional book deal. So I wrote my book first. And my mom was like, I can't believe that you're putting this much work into something that you have no idea whether or not it's going to go anywhere. Like if anybody's ever going to really read it, like this is just so admirable that you would just do this and do all this work and spend all this time and all this energy and all these hours. And you just don't know what the outcome is going to be, but you're doing it despite that. And I just like, I think I was a lot younger then too. So I think I had some sort of like, no, I'm going to make sure that I get this book published.
Yeah.
But it was like, okay, yeah, you're right. Like it might not go anywhere. Like this might not ever be on a bookstore shelf ever, but I'm going to do it because it's in my heart. It's in my soul. I've noticed this pattern as a coach. I want to help women get through this pattern of being hard on themselves and beating themselves up and lying to themselves about how amazing they are. And, you know, it's like, I just had that in me and I just felt like I had to get it out. And I'm sure there's people listening right now where you just have to get it out. Yeah. Like you have something on your heart, whether it's a novel or a nonfiction book or what have you, you have that writing project that's collecting dust in your brain or on your computer or in the drawer. And there's just part of you that knows you have to get this out into the world in some way and you have to complete it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Yeah. What was the name of that first book? Wasn't that the Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves?
Big Fat Lies Women Tell Themselves.
We'll put that link in the show notes because it's such a good book.
Yeah. I don't know if, like, do you think writing books is for everyone? Because I don't.
No, I don't think necessarily.
I feel like that's a bad answer, but yeah.
You're like, before you answer, I'm going to answer my opinion. You're so funny.
Here's my big fat opinion.
I love you. Oh my gosh. No, but I think it's really interesting because I've seen the studies that say that, like, I mean, the percentage of people that feel like they have a book in them is off the charts. It's the vast majority of people, according to different studies. But I don't think, I think writing is for everybody that wants to write.
100%. I agree with that.
You know, right? So it's like whether you're writing in your journal or you're writing Facebook posts. Like I have friends that I feel like are doing a blog on Facebook, basically. They put all their feelings out there, right? And like, that's how they get through the world, you know, especially right now with everything going on. But it's like, I feel like everybody, writing is a tool for everybody. Writing a book isn't for everybody.
Yes.
And I think it takes a certain amount of tenacity and desire and the desire to not only write for yourself and for enjoyment, but to write for others. And that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And writing a book is hard, y'all. Like, let me just say, having written two books, it is hard. It's a lot of hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. Well, okay. I agree with that. I think that writing in general is for everyone. Writing a book, I also totally agree with you about, you know, it taking tenacity and those types of things. But yes, the study, I looked at it recently. It's depending on who, you know, which one you look at, it's anywhere between 70 and 90% of Americans. Right. I haven't seen it anywhere else, but Americans say that they want to write a book before they die. And all kinds, you know, nonfiction, historical fiction, memoir, children's books, the whole
romance novels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you know that romance novels, there's this whole genre of romance novels of people that write them and self-publish. So self-publishing, especially with romance novels, is huge business right now.
Wow.
You know that?
I did not know that.
Christina James writes Copy for Me and she writes romance novels under the pen name Chris J. And she said that like there's some romance novelists that'll churn out like a book a month or something crazy.
Whoa.
Like, what? They just do it full time.
Wow.
They get a following and they make a living doing it.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. Like just, you know, there's like passionate romance and erotica and it's its whole thing out there. So all you people want to write about love.
You know, it's so funny because my friend, and I think you know Sark too, Susan Ariel Rainbow Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. So, I mean, I remember when I first met her, she was putting out her 15th or 16th book at the time. And she had done one nonfiction book a year for over a decade. And I was like, what? Like, and that to me blew my mind because that felt like, I mean, I just can't imagine going through the nonfiction book process. Basically, you'd be doing it at all times. Like every project would be in different phases.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I could do it if that's all I was doing.
Yep.
And I feel like it would be a lot. It would be less of a headache if I didn't have children or they were grown or out of the house. Like,
sure.
100%. Sure. I could see myself spending all my time just writing. That's all I've ever wanted to do. When I was a brand new coach in 2009 and I had a mastermind, a little peer mastermind, and they asked me then, what is it that you want to do? And I said, I would be the happiest if all I did was write. And I still feel that way. So it's possible. And you know, it was just a dream back then. And I mean, obviously Amy and I are big fans of writing.
Well, I'm curious, what do you love and what do you not love about writing?
You know, Andrea? It's interesting. And if anyone who's listening is an avid listener of self-help podcasts and, you know, not just mine, they know that one of the frequent assignments that's given by any teacher is journaling. And I, when my therapist gives me that assignment, you've given me that assignment, I am like, oh, I don't want to. But I don't think I've ever come out of a journaling session and been like, well, that was a waste of time.
Just right, never. Right.
And yeah. I've decided that it doesn't have to look like pages. Like I've never done the morning pages, the Julia Cameron advice, which I know a lot of people love, and I love that they love it. It's just not for me. It might be maybe when I turn 50 or something, I'll try it. But I don't love, I mean, I think people feel this way a lot about a lot of things, like working out. Like it's just the getting started. It's like, I got to like get dressed for my workout and then start at this run or whatever. And then halfway through, or especially when you're at the end, you're like, oh, that was great. That's how I feel about writing. So that kind of answered both like the, what I love and what I don't love.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
I got to say, like, I love having written books. It is a thrill like no other. Still, after all these years, to sign a book for someone, are you kidding?
Same. I know.
Are you kidding? Seeing my book in the bookstore, it takes everything I have not to run up and down the aisles of any bookstore telling everyone that I wrote that.
Right? I know. It's so
it doesn't get old.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I was just looking at my youngest daughter's. She recently came home and had written something, and she said, you know, my name is Evie Rose, blah, 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 blah. And my mom writes books. Uh-huh. And I just thought that was so interesting that that's her perception of what I do. And it made me really proud. I was like, wow. And then I was like, those teachers must be very impressed that I'm an author, you know? I'm like, okay, whatevs. But it's so funny because it really is. There's nothing like it, walking into a store. And like, I feel like, you know, both my books are about self-love, specifically for women. And I write a lot about the inner critic, which I call the inner mean girl, as you mentioned. And I feel like they're like little self-love soldiers out there doing work and reaching people that I would never be able to reach if I didn't have a book.
Yeah.
And I love that. And then you look at like something like having audiobooks, you know, and I know like your audiobook for How to Stop Feeling Like Shit. I mean, my gosh, how many people have listened to it now? I mean,
it's like 125,000.
Think of people listening to your voice, reading your work. I mean, what a thrill. Isn't that amazing?
It is. And I wrote the acknowledgments for this book that comes out in August. And I wrote a special note in the acknowledgments. I'm not going to give away the secret. Everybody's going to have to stay tuned for people who are thinking about writing a book. It's just one little sentence in there. And because I think about that pretty often, the amount, especially the amount of women out there who want to write a book, whether it's a novel or a memoir or a nonfiction book, whatever it is, and they are stuck because of many few reasons, don't know where to start, don't know how to do it, don't feel like they can, they're inner mean girl, feel an imposter complex. And I cannot be with that. I cannot be with that, Amy Ehlers.
Yeah.
Like, please write your book.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I feel like the best way, and I know this is like, you know, when I was writing my first book, again, wrote the whole thing, like multiple versions of it, hired editors or whatever before I ever had a book deal and or ever wrote my proposal. But I got that done by meeting our mutual friend who's also in our mastermind, Sam Bennett, amazing author as well. We would meet at this coffee shop in Los Angeles in Los Feliz. And we would have, I'd have this incredible panini because back then I could eat gluten. Thank you very much. And I would have my panini and my iced coffee and I would write this book. And Sam was working on a different project. And it was through the sisterhood, through the regular accountability that I wrote the first draft of that book. Mm-hmm. And that is everything to me of having that sisterhood, having that accountability, being with another person that's doing something similar to you. And that to me is one of the keys of actually getting the work done. So if there's anything you take away from this, if you have a book in your heart, if you have a book in your soul, if you are ready, get support. Don't try to do it alone. Get accountability. Find a sisterhood. And that's like one of the biggest things that you can do to like get it going on.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to close up without telling people about our free call that we're doing. It's kind of a workshop. Don't you think it is?
Yeah, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like
totally
that.
Free. And it is happening on March the 16th at noon Pacific time, 3 Eastern. And it's called
Top 10 Kick-Ass Tips to Start and Complete Your Writing Project. March 16th, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. You can register for free at writingexperienceprogram.com/tips, plural, T-I-P-S.
Yeah, it's totally free. I don't do very many live things anymore. So, I mean, even if you want to, it's if you love this podcast, you'll love this. Even if you're just like kind of thinking about wanting to write, these are beginner's tips that we're giving and it'll be live. And if you can't make it, sign up anyway, because we'll send you a recording probably that night. So you can hop on and check it out. And it'll be, how long is it going to be?
60, I think 80? Up to 90 minutes because we're going to do 10 tips. So it takes us a little while to
10 tips. And we did this last year. It's a little bit different than the one that we did last year. And it was right in the beginning of April when COVID hit. And we were like, is anybody going to show up? And we had a lot of people that came and the comments, like everyone was like, there was more side conversations. I'm like, is anybody even listening to this? There was a lot of community going on.
I know, right? Well, you get a bunch of women together to talk about writing and then you give them a chat feature. Right. Hello. There's going to be a lot of chitty chat going on.
I love that. It was blowing up. Yes.
I know.
So if anyone's thinking about it, or even if you're just like writing curious and yeah, and I think we'll probably have time for some Q&A at the very end, which we're happy to do.
Yeah,
so writingexperienceprogram.com/tips. It costs $0.
Yes,
it's our gift to you. And get to hang out live with me and Amy. It'll be super fun. And I think that's it. Did I forget anything?
I don't think so. I'm just, thanks so much for having me on, my dear. And thank you all so much for listening. And again, if you have it in you, you know, I feel like if there's anything we've learned from this past year of lockdowns and COVID and so much stuff going on in the world, it's like tomorrow's not guaranteed, folks. Like we get this. I mean, look at the natural, you know, like all the stuff that's going on in the world. So it's like, if you have this in your heart, if on like, I'm going to get all coaching on everyone, but it's like the deathbed wishes, deathbed regrets, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I know, and I'm sure you feel this way too, Andrea, that it's like, on my deathbed, I'll be so happy that I wrote those two books. And who knows, you know, if I have more in me, but I'm just so happy that I did that. And I want everybody who has that desire to have that. And the thing that's so amazing nowadays, and we'll talk about this a lot on the call and in the free workshop, but is you don't have to wait on a publisher to publish. You can self-publish so easily now and get your work out into the world. And I want anybody and everybody that has that desire to follow through on it, because it's there's nothing more satisfying. Truly, it's an amazing experience.
Amen. Yeah. I just want to underscore that the lengths that leaps and bounds in self-publishing, y'all, leaps and bounds to when it first started. Cause I thought about self-publishing my first book in 2012, 2013-ish. And it was just starting to kind of take hold and people were paying attention and starting to self-publish a little bit. And there were not very many options. And it was also, you could either do everything yourself or you could do like this hybrid thing that wasn't really hybrid, but it was very expensive. Basically, you had to pay like $5,000 to $10,000, and then you were kind of stuck with like hundreds and hundreds of copies of your book to like sell them out of the trunk of your car. That was kind of the only option, but it's so different now. There's so many easy options. And yes, me and Amy have all the goods. writingexperienceprogram.com/tips. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, darling. My pleasure and honor as always.
I just love you. And everyone, thank you so much for being here with us. I am so grateful for your time. And remember, it's our life's journey to make ourselves better humans and our life's responsibility to make the world a better place. Bye, everyone.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.